On a straight head count, the adherents no doubt do come out in front, Perestek. And I've told them I never did care for some of their methods or their zeal. I'm all for people being allowed to live their own lives, but now they're up against you lot, and that's what makes the difference to me. Because I'm against you rather than for them. I'm prepared. Hawser broke off for a moment, laughing lightly, self-consciously. Well, it sounds a bit melodramatic, but sure, I'm prepared to die for them. He shrugged. Simple as that. Hawser nodded as he said it, and Balveda dropped the outstretched hand and looked away to one side, shaking her head and exhaling loudly. Hawser went on. Because, well, I suppose you thought I was just kidding when I was telling old Frolk I thought the knife missile was the real representative. I wasn't kidding, Balveda. I meant it then, and I mean it now. I don't care how self-righteous the culture feels or how many people the Idirans kill. They're on the side of life. Boring, old-fashioned, biological life. Smelly, fallible and short-sighted, God knows, but real life. You're ruled by your machines. You're an evolutionary dead end. The trouble is that to take your minds off it, you try to drag everybody else down there with you. The worst thing that could happen to the galaxy would be if the culture wins this war. He paused to let her say something, but she was still sitting with her head down, shaking it. He laughed at her. You know, Balveda, for such a sensitive species, you show remarkably little empathy at times. Empathize with stupidity, and you're halfway to thinking like an idiot, muttered the woman, still not looking at Hawser. He laughed again and got to his feet. Such bitterness, Balveda, he said. She looked up at him. I'll tell you, Hawser, she said quietly. We're going to win. He shook his head. I don't think so. You wouldn't know how to. Balveda sat back again, hands spread behind her. Her face was serious. We can learn, Hawser.
Who from?
Whoever has the lesson there to teach, she said slowly. We spend quite a lot of our time watching warriors and zealots, bullies and militarists, people determined to win regardless. There's no shortage of teachers.
If you want to know about winning, ask the Adirans.
Balveda said nothing for a moment. Her face was calm, thoughtful, perhaps sad. She nodded after a while. They do say there's a danger in warfare, she said, that you'll start to resemble the enemy. She shrugged. We just have to hope that we can avoid that. If the evolutionary force you seem to believe in really works, then it'll work through us and not the Idirans. If you're wrong, then it deserves to be superseded.
Balveda, he said, laughing lightly. Don't disappoint me. I prefer a fight. You almost sound as though you're coming round to my point of view.
No, she sighed. I'm not. Blame it on my special circumstances training. We try to think of everything. I was being pessimistic.
I'd got the impression SC didn't allow such thoughts.
Then think again, Mr. Changer, Balveda said, arching one eyebrow. SC allows all thoughts. That's what some people find so frightening about it.
Hawser thought he knew what the woman meant. Special circumstances had always been the contact section's moral espionage weapon, the very cutting edge of the culture's interfering diplomatic policy, the elite of the elite in a society which abhorred elitism. Even before the war, its standing and its image within the culture had been ambiguous. It was glamorous but dangerous, possessed of an aura of roguish sexiness, there was no other word for it, which implied predation, seduction, even violation. It had about it, too, an atmosphere of secrecy, in a society that virtually worshipped openness, which hinted at unpleasant, shaming deeds and an ambience of moral relativity, in a society which clung to its absolutes, life good, death bad, pleasure good, pain bad, which attracted and repulsed at once, but anyway excited. No other part of the culture more exactly represented what the society as a whole really stood for, or was more militant in the application of the culture's fundamental beliefs. Yet, no other part embodied less of the society's day-to-day character. With war, contact had become the culture's military, and special circumstances, its intelligence and espionage section. The euphemism became only a little more obvious, that was all. And with war, SC's position within the culture changed for the worse. It became the repository for the guilt the people in the culture experienced because they had agreed to go to war in the first place, despised as a necessary evil, reviled as an unpleasant moral compromise, dismissed as something people preferred not to think about.